This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Let's lift our hands to heaven and let's appreciate God this morning. Let's give Him the praise, the glory, the honor, the adoration, and let us celebrate Him from the depth of our hearts. What a good God. Thank Him first for the word that we received in the first sessions. Thank Him for the ministrations that we have already seen this morning. Lord, we thank You. We give You praise. We give You glory. Are you thanking God this morning? Make sure you are not just muttering your words, but you are giving qualitative thanks unto God. 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 Appreciate Him and give Him the praise. Give Him the glory. Give Him the honor. Give Him the adoration. You are worthy of all the praise. You are worthy of all the glory. You are worthy of all the honor. You are worthy of all the adoration. Father, thank You. Father, thank You. Father, thank You. Father, thank You. Blessed be Your name. And blessed be Your name. Now ask Him for an encounter this morning. He said the word of the Lord came the second time. Lord, let Your word come forth this second time. Let it establish my change of story, my change of level, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, thank You, and blessed be Your name. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Lord Jesus, this morning all eyes are on You. We are here to receive Your word today. Send Your word with power. By Your word this morning, let every one of us be changed and transformed. We thank You because we know You have done it already. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. If somebody believes, say loud, amen. Give Jesus a big hand and please, you may be seated in God's presence. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. This morning is my privilege yet again to bring God's word. And I don't take it for granted. I appreciate God, appreciate His servant, the apostle over this commission, my father, for this opportunity. And we are going to be looking at this teaching this morning that is captioned, Taking Covenant Responsibility for Your Personal Sanctification. Taking Covenant Responsibility for Your Personal Sanctification. And I want you to follow very closely this morning, because I believe that there will be an unleashing of divine grace upon our lives that will empower and enable us to keep walking in sanctification. You will no longer be rising and falling. Your life will continue to go from glory to glory. If you believe, say aloud, amen. Now, the word of God makes clear to us that the will of God is our sanctification. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. But we discovered that while it is the will of God, we are required to take heed to certain biblical instructions in order to live a sanctified life. What that means is that although it is the will of God, it is not automatic. Sanctification cannot be wished. It must be worked. Sanctification cannot be wished. It must be worked. As we all know, no one goes forward without taking steps. No one goes forward sitting down. No one goes forward wishing for a change of story. Whatever you don't work will not work. So sanctification is not to be wished, it is to be worked. This is so important. And that is why we have been told over time that you can never arrive at a destination without taking deliberate steps to depart from where you are. And this is why you and I must become sensitive to the diverse instructions that are given to us in scriptures as far as sanctification is concerned. Never forget, It is not automatic. It must be worked. The Bible says in the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7 that he that doeth righteousness is righteous. So, what does the Bible tell us, or what does the Bible demand of us when it comes to sanctification? And we're going to be looking at quite a number of scriptural instructions. And what it will show you and I is that sanctification is a matter of personal responsibility. And as you and I make our choice, the grace of God will be there to back us up. You believe, say loud, amen. Amen. Now, sanctification demands the following among others. Number one, it demands that we purify ourselves. We purify ourselves. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 down to verse 3, look at what the Bible tells us here. It said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And verse 2, it said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that that when he will appear, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. And look at verse 3, very important. And every man, say with me, every man. Come on, say it louder, every man. And every man that had this hope in him purified himself, even as he is pure. Every man that hath this hope has the responsibility of purifying himself. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, the Bible puts it to us in this fashion. It said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Let us cleanse ourselves. All of these scriptures go to show us that our sanctification is our personal responsibility. It said, let him purify himself. Let him cleanse himself. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22, look at what the Bible tells us here. It tells us, he said, lay hands upon no man, suddenly upon no man, neither be partakers of other men's sin. Look at what it says at the end. Do what? Keep thyself pure. Keep thyself. No one will keep you pure. It is your duty to keep yourself pure. So purification is a personal responsibility. In the book of Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, look at what the Bible tells us. It said that you may be the sons of God without rebuke. It says, and in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. It is true that we are in a crooked world, but we are not to be crooked like the world. We are designed by God not to blend in, but to stand out. Is somebody getting what God is saying? So we have a responsibility to purify ourselves. You are in school. Don't partake of the evil of other men. Purify yourself. In your workplace, purify yourself. In your own business, purify yourself. In your relationship, purify yourself. This is so important. We must of necessity engage in the purification of ourselves. Why? Because the Bible makes it clear. It said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Only those who are pure can see God. And purification is an active engagement. It is an active engagement. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, the Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which what? No man can see God. So you want to see God, then there is a necessity to purify yourself. So purification is a personal responsibility. And the word of God makes it clear that we must purify ourselves. Number two is, anyone that will sanctify himself must purge himself. We must purge ourselves. Purging has to do with cutting off or ridding yourself of the things that defile. Ridding yourself, cutting off the things that defile. in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 to 21. Look at what the Bible tells us here. It said, the foundation of God stands sure. It has this seal. Let every man that nameth the name of God depart from iniquity in a great house. There are many vessels of gold, of silver, of wood, and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21, if a man therefore will purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared to every good work. You see, in a great house, there are many vessels. The great house is the house of God. Inside the house of God, there are vessels of honor, there are vessels to dishonor. But what determines the kind of vessel you and I are is our capacity to purge ourselves. Hear this. God does not decide who is gold, who is silver, who is wood, and who is earth. It is you and I that decides it. And we decide it by our commitment to purging, to cutting off the things that defile. I pray this morning that via the encounter that you and I have this morning, our spirit man shall be enabled afresh to purge ourselves supernaturally. You believe it, say a loud amen. I say you believe it, say a loud amen. James chapter 4, verse 7 and verse 8. Look at what the Bible tells us here. It says, submit yourself therefore to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. Verse 8. He said, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. He said, cleanse your hand. Take responsibility to take off whatever it is that defiles. I pray this morning that upon this mountain, whatever is defiling any one of us in our walk with God will be cleansed off in the name of Jesus. Amen. You believe it? Say a loud amen. Amen. So we have a responsibility. Say with me, I have a responsibility to purge myself. Say louder, I have a responsibility to purge myself. One more time with confidence, I have a responsibility to purge myself. You believe it? Say a loud amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. The Bible tells us there very clearly. It says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may become a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Purge out. Take out the old leaven. What is that thing in your life that is still defiling you? Purge it out. Cut it off. You must take responsibility. What is that thing? Cut it off. We must come to the point of taking practical responsibility in order to sanctify and preserve our spiritual life. Number three is flee every lust. Flee every lust. There are things to fight and there are things to flee from. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. Look at what the Bible tells us. It says to us there, it says that flee youthful lusts. Run away from them. Run away from them. Flee youthful lusts. Flee youthful lusts. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 down to verse 17, look at what the word of God tells us. It says, love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. It says, and this world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. What are the things in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And the Bible says, when you see this lust, what should you do? Flee. Run away from it. Run away from it. run away from it. The things that provoke the motions of the flesh must never be tolerated. Run from it. Run from it. Shout hallelujah. I said shout hallelujah. So we have the responsibility to flee every one of the youthful lusts. Now, hear this and hear it very well. Anyone who keeps falling into youthful lust is doing so willfully. Look at what the Bible says in the book of 2 Peter. Look at this very quickly. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10. Look at what the Bible tells us. It said, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished." Look at verse 10. It said, "But chiefly, importantly, those who walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise government," he said, "presumptuous are they." What does he say next? "Self-willed." Those who are continuously claiming to be victims of lust. The Bible says what? They are self-willed. They are self-willed. You hear people say, "It's Satan that made me do it. Satan is the one that made me." Satan is after everybody. You are not his only customer. He is running after every individual. Is somebody getting what God is saying? When you see lust showing up, the Bible says, do what? Flee. Run from it. Don't give it any tolerance. Run from it. Give no room. Run from it. I pray this morning that the grace for each one of us to begin to run from every youthful lust, I pray that that grace will come afresh upon us. Amen. Somebody believe, say a loud amen. Amen. I said somebody believe, say a loud amen. Amen. Somebody believe, say a loud amen. Amen. Run from it. You remember the story of Joseph? The Bible says that that woman looked at him, the Potiphar's wife looked at him and began to press on him continuously. And the Bible says that one day she caught him by his coat and said, "Lie with me." And the Bible did not say Joseph was negotiating. He said he ran. You run away from youthful lusts. Whenever you see the appearance of it, you run from it. Shout hallelujah. I said, shout hallelujah. Run from it. So flee from youthful lust. Number four, abstain from all appearances of evil. Abstain from all appearances of evil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22. The Bible says, abstain from all appearances. Whatever looks like evil, keep away from it. Is somebody getting what God is saying? Whatever looks like evil, keep away from it. My brother, you are in relationship with that sister. You claim it is courtship. What are you doing inside the room? Keep away from what appears like evil. Keep away from it. You say, "Well, we are praying." Go and pray outside. Go and pray outside. Whatever looks like evil will lead to evil. Is somebody getting what God is saying? Whatever looks like evil will lead to evil. Don't let the testimony of your faith be eroded. Commit yourself to abstaining from whatever resembles evil. If it looks like evil, it will lead to evil. So the Bible says that we must abstain from every appearance of evil. Abstain from it. I pray today that a fresh grace will come upon each one of us to take our stand in righteousness. If you believe it, say the loudest amen. I said, if you believe it, say the loudest amen. If you believe it, say the loudest amen. Abstain from whatever appears to be evil. Run away from it. Don't keep it around you. Shout hallelujah. I said shout hallelujah. Number five is you must put off the old man and his deeds. Put off the old man and his deeds. Before you came to Christ, you were what the Bible refers to as an old man. You had an old entity. And that entity came with all kinds of deeds. There are things that we were doing before you came to Christ. But now that you are in Christ, the evidence that you have put off the old man is that those old actions are no more there. Is somebody getting it? That's why you hear people testifying here. Drug addiction of such and such number of years, put away. Sex addiction of such and such number of years, put away. All kinds of things that came with the old man, the baggage of the old man, must be consciously put away. You can't claim to be a new man and still be living in the actions of the old man. That means what you are doing is deception. Genuine salvation is evidenced by walking in what the Bible calls the newness of life. So the old man must be put away. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9, look at what the Bible tells us here. It says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Ephesians 4 verse 22, look at what the Bible tells us here. It makes us understand there. It said, now put ye off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Put it away. You used to lie before, lie no more. Have you not heard the song, the popular old song that used to be sung, the things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. Why? Since I met the Lord. If you have met the Lord, there should be a change to show. Is somebody getting it now? The places I used to go, I go there no more. The places I used to go, I go there no more. The places I used to go, I go there no more. There's a great change since I met the Lord. If truly you have met the Lord, it should show in the various departments of your life. It should show. You must put off the old man with all of his deeds. The lying must stop. The cheating must stop. These are the genuine evidences. Now hear this, no matter how much you are praying, if you are still living the old life, it is the evidence that the new life is not in you. Is somebody getting it now? A young man came to meet me some time ago, brought some items to me, and my spirit just rejected it. And I said, okay, get that man who brought this item, just some few kitchen utensils and so forth. I said, get that man, return the items to him and tell him to come and see me. And he came to see me. I told him, I said, sit down, what do you do? He looked at me and smiled. He said, no, I do cryptocurrency. I said, my friend, that's not what you do. Tell me what you do. Come to find out, this is a boy doing Yahoo Yahoo. Very active. I mean, church active. Active in church. Does not miss any prayer meeting. I told him, my friend, you are deceiving yourself. No matter how much activity you engage with, until you are right with God, you have no part with God. Is somebody getting what God is saying? If you are a new man, put off the old man. If you are a new man, put off the old man. And putting off the old man means putting off the man and all of his deeds. What else? Number six, we must put on the new man, which is renewed after the image of Christ. Put on the new man. Colossians 3 and verse 10. Look at what the Bible tells us here. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on the new man. Put on the new man. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14. Look at what the Bible tells us here. It says to us, But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put on the Lord. Put on the Lord. When you put off the old man, you are now made into the image of Christ. So you begin to conform, begin to look more like him. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So we are to look at Jesus as our example. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. So you begin to engage with Christ to look more like him. To look more like him. So our spiritual development is part of what it takes to enhance our sanctification. And hear this, in the natural, development is about conforming to Christ. Looking more like Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and verse 30. Look at what the Bible tells us. He said, whom he did predestinate, he said, 29 and 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed, to look more like him, to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Look at verse 30. He said, moreover, who he did predestinate, them he also called. And those that he called, what did he do first? He justified. And those that he justified, he ultimately did what? Glorified. So before there can be glorification, there must be justification. Justification is maintained by sanctification. So we must ensure that we look more like him. And we look more like him by digging into his word until his image begins to show in us. My prayers are from this day onward, the very image of Christ will begin to show in each one of us. Amen. You believe it, say the loudest amen. Amen. I said the very image of Christ will begin to show in every one of us. Amen. You know, the Bible says that we are supposed to be living epistles. When people see us, they are supposed to see Christ. Do you know that the word Christian means Christ-like? They called them Christians. Christians did not call themselves Christians. Those who saw them saw Christ in them and began to call them Christ-like. Christian, Christ-like. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it said, when they saw the boldness of Peter and of John, it said that they took notice of them that they had been with Christ. Anyone who is genuinely with Christ will look like Christ. Anyone that is genuinely with Christ will look like Christ. That means that people should be able to discern Christ in us. They should be able to discern Christ in us. When people look at you, they should see Jesus in you. Shout hallelujah. They should see Jesus in you. When they look at you, they should see Jesus in you. So we must begin to put on the new man. Put on the new man that is renewed after the image of him that called us. And you see, these things are discernible. I remember some years ago, I was out doing outreach and I had my, tracks in my pocket. And we're just walking, myself and a partner, just walking down the road. And a man came and looked at us and Tabby said, excuse me, are you a Christian? I said, yes. Why do you ask? He said, because when I see genuine Christians, there is usually a light around them. And when I saw you, there was something around you that made me know that this is a Christian. Hear it. I hear this very well. The title they call you does not matter. They call you pastor, it doesn't matter. What matters the most is whether you look like Christ. They call you deacon, it doesn't matter. What matters the most is whether you look like Christ. Is whether you look like Christ. When you look like Christ, you become an attraction to your world. I pray this morning that via the encounter you are having upon this mountain, the grace to begin to look more like Jesus, that grace comes afresh upon you. Amen. Somebody believe it, say the loudest amen. Amen. I said, somebody believe it, say the loudest amen. Amen. Somebody believe it, say the loudest amen. Amen. So we are to put on the new man. Number 7, give no place to the devil. Recognize that the devil is always looking for an opportunity for infiltration. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. He said, give the devil no place. Give no place to him. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and verse 9. It says that be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He said in verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Remember I said yesterday, stop behaving like you are the only customer that Satan is looking for. He said everybody in the world is pursuing after all of them. But your job is to be sober. Be vigilant. Be attentive. Many temptations are entered into because of the lack of attention of the believer. The lack of attention. When we become spiritually insensitive, we become gullible to the enemy. We become gullible to the enemy. When we are spiritually insensitive, that is why there is a demand for us to ensure that we don't give room to the devil in any department of our lives. And when he shows up, we have the right to resist him. The Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil. So Satan has no authority over you and I. Shout hallelujah. You can resist him. You can resist him. You can resist the devil and he flees away from you. I pray today that that authority that Jesus has given to you and to me, each one of us will receive grace to begin to exercise it. Number 8 is you must exercise yourself unto godliness. Godliness requires exercise. It requires exercise. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and verse 8. The Bible tells us there, it says, godliness is profitable unto all things. It says, but we, you and I are expected to exercise ourselves unto it. So we must exercise ourselves. Exercise has to do with walking on something through repetition. Working on something. That means making a practice of godliness. Is somebody getting it? Making a practice. Exercise yourself in it. Make a practice of doing godly things continuously. Exercise yourself towards godliness. Shout hallelujah. In Acts chapter 24, verse 16, the Bible speaking concerning Paul the apostle, he put it this way. He said, herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience that is void of offense toward God and towards man. Hear this. If you will take seriously your spiritual sanctification as you take your healing needs, you would have dominion over sin. You know how people get angry in their spirit when they give you a bad report. And you see people begin to reject the report. They begin to engage against the report. If you will do that concerning your sanctification, sin will be cheaply defeated. The problem with many is that they smile at sin. They relax at the sight of sin. You must exercise yourself if you are going to end up with a godly life. Please hear this. We are not, God's servant said it on the first night, I believe. He said, the world is getting more and more wicked. That is true. But the wickedness of the world does not cancel the righteousness of the saints. That they are getting worse and worse means we should shine brighter and brighter. We should shine brighter and brighter. So we must, and our shining is at the mercy of our sanctification. Now listen to this very carefully. I want you to look at this illustration. The Bible says we are the light of the world. Is that true? We are the light of the world. Is that true? If you have a bulb that is supposed to give light and you paint it black, even if there is light inside the bulb, it now loses its capacity to give light. When sin surrounds a man's life, that man can never be light to his world. Your light is at the mercy of your sanctification. What that means is that if you are not right, you cannot have light. If you are not right with God, you cannot have light for your world. If you are not right with God, you cannot have light for your world. Number 9, and this is very important, you must ensure not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Unequally yoked with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 down to verse 18. Refuse to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Unequally yoked. Now, listen to this, particularly those of us who are yet to get married. Circumstantial salvation is not a qualification for a spouse. Some of us will find somebody, you too know that the man is not born again. You find him out there in the world, you bring him to church, and then when it's time for altar call, you tap him, stand up. So he jumps up on his feet. Lord Jesus, he say, okay, I've done it now. Is that all now? They say, okay, that's all. Let's go and carry phone. And then you start doing counseling with somebody who is not properly born again. Hear this. To be unequally yoked is to tie yourself to future trouble. Is somebody getting what God is saying? Is to tie yourself to future trouble. Is to tie yourself to future trouble. Some years ago, I met a woman. The woman came to me and she was weeping. And I said, what's going on? She said, she's having certain challenges and so forth in her marriage. She was pregnant. I said, okay, where's the man? And then she continued to weep. I said, what's the problem? He said, he's a Muslim. Did you marry him before he became born again? No. Because I was waiting now, I was looking for somebody to marry, and the man came, he would say he would marry me, and the man was a very good man. But now you're having a very bad experience because you found yourself unequally yoked to an unbeliever by choice. Hear this and hear it very well. Your destiny is at the mercy of your decision. Your destiny is at the mercy of your decision. It's at the mercy of your... Some of you, you even cover the flaws of the person so nobody will see it. You enter into counseling, they ask a question, you know he will not answer it well. You say, well, what he normally does is, you know, about his spiritual life, he prays at least one hour every day. He reads three chapters every day. And then the man is also nodding. Yes, I pray one hour every day. I read three chapters every day. You are helping him to answer the question, who are you deceiving? For somebody here today, that your eyes will be open in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's wrap up very quickly. Number 10 is cast off the works of darkness. Cast off the works of darkness. Cast off the works of darkness. Romans chapter 13 and verse 12. The Bible tells us there, among other things, that we are to cast off all of those works of darkness. He said, cast off the works of darkness. Number 11, lay aside every sin and the weight that so easily besets us. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, both sin and weight, lay them aside. Whatever will hinder your walk with God, put it away. Put it away. Put it away. There are some of us here, you don't need smartphone. You need dumb phone. The one that doesn't have any app on it. Because it is affecting your walk with God. When it is time to pray, you are getting notification. And you are praying and looking at the notification. Has somebody liked my post? Has somebody liked my post? How can nobody like my post here now? You are praying. You are checking Instagram. You are praying. You are checking Twitter. You are praying. You are on Facebook. You are praying. You are sending text messages. In the middle of the prayer, to who are you talking? Is it to God or to the people? There are many of us that have to come to the point of, you know, shielding ourselves in order to preserve our spiritual lives. I make it a habit that when I wake up any morning, nothing on my phone can be opened except a Bible application. WhatsApp cannot be open. I put every application on my phone off. It cannot be open. Why? Because my first task in the morning is to speak to God and read his word. Until I do that, I cannot read one text message. It is my standard and practice for living. Every day there are chapters of the Bible that must be downloaded into my spirit before I will speak to any man or read from any man, in order to sanctify myself. You see, those who clean up in the morning are the ones who are able to stand the various temptations of the day. May grace be granted to each one of us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So lay aside every sin, lay aside every weight. Number 12, take regular showers in the word. Take regular showers in the word. Psalm 119, verse 9 to verse 11. Wherewith will a young man cleanse his ways? But by taking heed unto the word. Take regular showers in the word. Number 13, bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. When you say, Lord, I am sorry, there should be fruit to show it. Bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8. Bring forth fruit. So don't just claim to be sorrow, to be sorry. The Bible said, godly sorrow worketh repentance. So repentance must have works or evidences to show. Shout hallelujah. Bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. Number 14, turn away from every wrong company. Turn away from every wrong company. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, evil communication corrupts good manners. Number 15, mortify the deeds of the flesh. Engage the Holy Ghost to kill the motions of the flesh. Romans 8 and verse 13. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. And finally, number 16, commit to watching and praying. Commit to doing what? Watching and praying. The Bible makes us to understand, it says, watch and pray that you fall not into temptation. Watch and pray. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41. Don't just pray, also watch. Open your eyes, watch. Watch and pray. That means don't allow yourself walk into any temptation. When you pray against it, watch against it. When you pray against it, do what? Watch against it. You pray against it, do what? Watch against it. Look out for any opportunity that the enemy has to set any traps on your path. Watch against it. And when you do so, you walk totally free. Somebody hearing my voice this morning, grace is coming upon your life. From today, you are no more a victim of the enemy. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In conclusion, take note of this. It is all a matter of choice. Your decision determines your destination. Lift your right hand to heaven. Lord, I receive grace. I refuse to be a victim of sin and of wickedness in this world. I refuse to be a victim. I receive grace this morning. I receive grace this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. It is done. You are blessed in the name of Jesus.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.